In the fresh water of the Connecticut River, nitrogen is not a problem. So in the 1970s, when the Clean Water Act prompted the construction of wastewater plants up and down the river, they weren't built to filter out nitrogen. Now, retrofitting a plant to remove nitrogen can be an adjustment of a dial or a major rebuilding of a system. In the case of the plant that serves Springfield, Massachusetts, and six other towns, increased nitrogen removal will be a huge undertaking.
The reality is that municipalities are being forced to accommodate nitrogen, and it's on our shoulders, and it's costing a lot of money.
Josh Schimmel, executive director of New England's second largest wastewater treatment plant, wants proof that nitrogen is actually going from his plant on the banks of the Connecticut River into Long Island Sound.
You know, it's a color-coded map.
A color printout of a map of Long Island Sound is on Schimmel's desk. In the picture where the Connecticut enters the Sound, it's blue and looking pretty healthy. But near New York City, the water's all red. That's where there's a bad case of hypoxia, not enough oxygen for wildlife, prompted by nitrogen.
When you look at it, it doesn't make any sense that communities along the Connecticut River are going to be spending millions of dollars to deal with a nitrogen issue when you see that the issue really is primarily based upon the Hudson and East Rivers in the urban areas of New York City.
Looking at the map, Schimmel wonders why New York City's hypoxia problem is his to solve. He calls the EPA's nitrogen data pseudoscience. EPA officials said in an email that the agency always, quote, seeks out and uses the best and most relevant data to make regulatory decisions. But more data are needed.
What we basically have are instruments in here that are measuring the stage of the river.
The United States Geological Survey is gathering data here at a stream gauge located in the river near Windsor, Connecticut, just past the Massachusetts border. USGS hydrologist John Mullaney says to figure out how much nitrogen is in the river, you need to spend years measuring its water flow because land use continually changes, and so does climate.
One of the things that affects our nitrogen loads here for the Connecticut River, for instance, is nitrogen that comes in rainfall. It comes from emissions from coal-burning power plants, automobiles, all throughout the region.
And drought, heat, and cold all impact data. And around the tidal parts of the river, south of this point?
It's fresh water, but interestingly enough, when the tide is coming in, the river flows upstream. So in a sense, when you're trying to count that nitrogen, you don't want to count it twice because it's going to go by once and then it might go back upstream again before it goes down again.
So from what the EPA, the USGS, and others know, could nitrogen that comes all the way down from Vermont really make it into the Long Island Sound? Yes, but septic tanks, farm field runoff, the atmospheric conditions in total add up to a higher load of nitrogen than from wastewater treatment plants. And fair or not, says Beth Card, the reality is treated wastewater is measurable and easiest to control because of state and federal regulations. Card is a deputy commissioner at the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection.
You know, we also have to remember that we're asking for investment to protect a resource that a lot of folks who live in the upper watershed will never see or never enjoy.
The Connecticut River is not impaired by nitrogen, Card says. But that doesn't mean Massachusetts and other states get to ignore the problem. But Card does want to make sure the EPA is approaching any new regulations with the best information possible.
The state is stepping up in the sense that we are working very actively to make sure that all of the partners have a voice in the process.
Before things are finalized, Card says, and that means before EPA decides how much nitrogen will be allowed in treated wastewater. Those partners she mentions, they include plant managers, city leaders, and activists like Andy Fisk, the executive director of the Connecticut River Conservancy. He says wastewater plants are not off base with the concern they're doing more than their fair share.
Communities are looking at the ways they can develop so that they don't increase the amount of water going into their wastewater treatment plant, which may be at capacity, or treating things at the local site level so that it doesn't cause a problem when it runs off.
There are other solutions to this problem, like changing the way parking lots are built and establishing more oyster beds to absorb nitrogen. Fisk says it's a little late in the game for a conversation about nitrogen limits. The talk should have started 20 years ago. Now it's begun with a fight, he says, about EPA data and about how Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Vermont residents will have to foot the bill to clean up Long Island Sound. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Jill Kaufman.